I'm Derek Russell.
And I'm Brad Locke, and this is The Memo,
a gathering of all things Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by The Daily Journal and DJournal.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome into another episode of The Memo on this Thursday, July the 14th, 2016. Brad Locke here with you, along with W. Derek Russell. We spent about 20 seconds silently trying to be polite and let the other one do the intro.
Yes, you weren't polite. You went
finally
first.
I was like, forget it, I'll just do it.
You were very impolite.
Well, I got things to do.
Oh, busy man. Busy man. Yeah, you got to go win another award. You got to go write another long story to...
Oh, yeah. I got a story. I actually get to write a story. They let me do that every once in a while.
Speaking of winning awards, we've got a couple of award winners in the studio.
Yeah, we do.
Derek cleaned up on the awards. You got two first places for columns?
Yeah, sure did. All I got was a measly second place.
And then Brad got one for, I know you, well, but, I mean, you don't do, you Although don't do, have the opportunity to do
it
about writing now.
You don't do anything, Chris was about to say.
I write like four stories a year now.
That's what I'm saying. You write four stories a year and one of them gets an award. That's pretty good odds, percentages.
That one I wrote was a very long story.
So quantity.
I make up for it by writing too long. But,
quality over quantity.
Yeah, we just had the MPA Awards announced recently.
Mm-hmm. And the presence of greatness here.
Yeah, well, I don't know about that.
Yeah, not that either.
Yeah, it's just awards.
Yeah.
Coasters.
Yeah.
Nice coasters.
Yeah, you got plaques and stuff, didn't you? Yeah. All I got was a certificate.
I got a certificate, too.
Okay. Well, okay.
You get two firsts and what, in a second?
In a second. What are we? I don't know why we're... It's not important.
Everybody's
a winner at the Daily Journal.
That's right. Well, we got to promote
Chris.
Well, Chris doesn't write anymore.
No. That's why I'm grabbing the microphone and chiming
that's
on.
That's why he's trying to talk.
To help my ego a little bit.
We got to promote ourselves. That's the thing. Got to build our brand, Derek. Whatever that is.
What is our brand?
I have no idea.
That's a good.
Could be part greatness.
Winning.
I don't know about winning. Sleeping, that's my brand.
Yeah.
I'm a fan of it.
Me too. I don't get enough of it.
I could teach workshops on that. That's the only thing I do well.
Yeah.
I think I could put out some kind of self-help tape or tutorial.
I could use it. Woke up at 4:30 this morning with a pounding headache.
Everything good today, Brad? You seem kind of inflicted with...
I'm fine.
You sure?
I'm good.
Okay.
It's Thursday.
Yay!
It's almost the weekend.
What happens on Thursday, Brian?
My daughter has surgery today.
What?
Knee surgery. Drastic turn.
knee surgery.
Why are you here?
Knee surgery. It's later. I'll go up there later.
Okay.
Well, it's later as we're talking. Hopefully it should be done by the time everybody hears this, and she's still got a leg.
What?
No, it's fine. It's just,
Lord, this got awkward.
She's got bad knees, and she had knee surgery on one of her knees a few years ago. Uh-huh. It was like she grew too fast and
and
loose joints. I don't know. Her other one's been acting up, so she's getting preemptive surgery, so she doesn't have another blowout. She's just got bad knees. She's 19 and has old person knees. So.
Well, we wish her well.
Yeah, it's a routine surgery. It'll be fine.
Okay.
I think she said they're using a ligament from a cadaver.
What?
Does that mean she's part zombie now? After she gets that, that'd be kind of cool.
Brad, I wouldn't trust her. You keep an eye on her, okay? Any sweating, fever, anything, you go ahead and alert the CDC.
So now not only do we have an 11-month-old to take care of, we're going to have a 19-year-old to take care of.
That 11-month-old could be lunch if you don't watch what you're doing with those other...
Yeah, well,
we wish your family the best. You already got a ghost in the house. You don't need a zombie, too.
Yeah, well, she's just going to be lying on the couch watching, hogging up the TV until she goes to school next month.
Uh-huh.
Oh, it's going to be a long time.
Until the fever sits in.
Any update on the ghost?
No, I told you that the face keeps moving, right?
Yeah. Still.
I haven't checked. Although I kept hearing weird noises this morning.
Hmm.
But it may have just been my daughter, because my other daughter...
Could have just been your stomach.
I've got like 15 kids. No.
What?
Just kidding.
You just jumped 10?
No, my second oldest daughter inexplicably walked down the stairs this morning at like 6:30-something.
I could explain
this. This is the one who can sleep till 1 p.m. with no trouble.
Okay. Isn't the one that is having surgery.
No, this is the second oldest. Okay. She's 15.
And she walked down with her good legs.
And she just walked down the stairs and said, "What time is it?" And then she goes in and makes some coffee. And then a few minutes later, she's like, I don't know why I'm up. I don't remember. I barely remember coming down the stairs. And the next thing I know, I'm making coffee. She's just sleepwalking, probably.
Get out.
maybe she's possessed. Because her getting up that early during the summer is unheard of.
Something's wrong.
Completely unheard of.
With your household.
She basically sleepwalked until she got coffee.
You need an old priest and a young priest.
Why?
You never seen The Exorcist?
No.
Well, that's problem one.
Yeah. We've talked about the gaps in my pop culture.
You would probably be far more apt to understand what's going on in your house right now if you watched The Exorcist.
Okay, well.
I
just haven't. Seen all the Poltergeist either.
You're a good Catholic boy, Chris. You've seen The Exorcist, haven't you?
I'm familiar with it. I haven't seen it.
It's terrifying.
If it came out in the 70s, there's no telling if I've seen it.
Yeah. It came out in the 70s.
Yeah. Because I didn't really watch any movies much until the 90s.
Yeah.
Not very many.
I guess I'm alone.
Sorry.
Slightly freaked out, but that's fine. They have to use an old priest and a young priest on the girl.
Oh, okay. Maybe.
And the old priest
dies. The standard procedure. Well, spoiled it for me. Thanks.
Jaws eats a lot of people. What are you looking for here?
Ghostbusters catch ghosts.
Titanic sinks.
Okay, what have we got on the show today?
Well, I'll tell you, Emma Kent's going to be joining us to discuss the school rankings that go live at 10:01 a.m. this morning. It went live, I guess you would say.
Went live.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because we're coming to you from the past. Also, Bobby Harrison going to be joining us, as well as Scott Morris, to review the film he saw this week, This Secret Life of Pets.
Mm-hmm. And you'll be talking scene
section. I almost said This American Life. I don't know why. Yeah, and I'll tell you about the scene section for the weekend. So good show, Brad. Good show. Okay. All right, we'll see you next time. We still have to do it.
Yeah, we still got a lot to do.
All right. Well, we'll get into it. We want to remind you that today's episode is brought to you by South, a locally owned restaurant offering fine dining in a casual atmosphere. Check out South on North Gloucester Street in Tupelo.
All right, let's talk education. Edumacation. Emma Kent, almost called you Emma Crawford.
Brad, come on. It's been almost like a year.
It's Emma Crawford Kent on your byline, though.
It's true.
So it would be sort of accurate.
That's true.
Anyway. Mississippi Department of Education released its letter grade rankings today, finally. Finally. And then they're old ones, 2014-15 school year, because they had some test data issues or something. Why are they releasing them now, and what was the holdup for people who don't know?
The holdup was, according to MDE, they base it largely off of test scores.
Right.
And the tests that students took for that particular school year is called the PARC assessment. And apparently PARC was sending them test data that was wrong, and they just had to keep going back and forth. And apparently it was this huge mess. And so it took them a very long time to kind of get it all together. So,
And so 18 of the 32 school districts in Northeast Mississippi got an A or B rating, which is good, but the asterisk here would say that I don't know quite how to explain it. Basically, you can, because it's related to the new standards, formerly known as Common Core, I guess they call it the Mississippi College and Career Ready Standards. So implementing those, they're kind of, I guess, giving school districts some leeway there.
Yeah, it's kind of a long story.
It's a podcast. We got all the time in the world.
Well, there's and Chris can correct me if I'm wrong, because I picked this up after he had been covering it for a while, but when the state made the switch to those more rigorous standards, Common Core standards, they didn't switch the state test over at first. So basically they were phasing in these new standards, but the kids weren't being tested on, the kids were still taking a state test that was not quite aligned with those. And so they were given a waiver, kind of saying like, look, don't worry about your letter grade. Like if your school or your district dropped, you know, from an A to a C, like you can keep your A from the previous year. So they were, allowed to just hang on to their best letter grade.
For instance, Tupelo Public School District would have a C ranking, but with the waiver, they can maintain their B rating from 2014.
Right. Right. But so after they did this for, they did the waiver for 1 year. Uh-huh. And then this will be, this set of data that came out is the second year
right.
that schools have had that waiver. So then they did the PARC assessment, which is aligned to the standards, but, still it's a new test. And, it's the first time kids are being tested on these more difficult or just different standards. So they said, hey, we'll give you this waiver again.
Yeah.
So these grades that schools are hanging on to, a lot of them are from 2012 and 2013.
Wow.
So it's kind of weird. It's kind of hard to explain really, but
and hard to understand because you don't really know where your district stands necessarily.
Right. And so that's where they do give, in the data, they say, okay, your official grade is the one you're allowed to keep, your best grade. You mm-hmm. can keep the best one. Mm-hmm. And then they do list the what the school or the district would have gotten without that waiver. So kind of what their actual grade is. Right. That's the best way I know how to put it. But so, yeah, so like you said, Tupelo was C, although they're keeping their B, which they've had.
Yeah.
That's their best grade. So it's kind of like, you know, on record they're a B, but they would have had a C, if that makes sense.
Right. But Tupelo Superintendent Gerald Loden says that the students in TPSD actually showed more growth than in years past, and so he's taking issue with just, I guess, the formula that they mm-hmm. use. You know, he feels like the grade, for instance, I guess he feels the grade should not have been a C
for
the waiver.
Right, and a lot of... I've heard that from several superintendents that they don't feel like the model accurately. Basically, the issue is if your kids are showing growth in their test scores, then theoretically your letter grade should be better.
Right.
Right. But that's not necessarily true. It doesn't necessarily reflect kind of what's going on as far as their performance on the test, if that makes sense.
Right.
And that's kind of just something that the superintendents have been talking about. And, but so we'll see if MDE decides to do anything, change the model. But if not, they'll be using it again and releasing a new set of up-to-date rankings in the fall.
So the fall. So is that when they kind of get everything back on track?
Should be.
And everything makes more sense is the fall.
Yeah. That's what I've been told is that they'll release the 2015-2016 rankings mm-hmm. in the fall, so in around October is what I was told, and schools will not be given a waiver this time.
Okay.
So whatever their grade is their grade. Okay. So we're kind of realigning
right.
in the fall.
Lee County School District got a C ranking both with and without the waiver, and mm-hmm. some of the Lee County schools, there were some A grades in that system, though. Guntown, Morville High, Saltillo High, all got A's. Morville Elementary, Morville Middle, and Saltillo Elementary all got B grades. And Jimmy Weeks said he felt pretty good about the ratings overall.
Yeah, he said, he said, I feel good. We've got A's and B's, you know, and they did have some C schools and some D schools, but the schools overall improved. I mean, you've got places like Plantersville that used to be an F and it came up to a D.
Yeah.
So that's great. I mean, showing improvement is good.
Yeah.
And then I think it was Shannon Elementary came up from a D to a C, I believe. So he said, you know, obviously there's a lot still room for improvement, but if you're growing, if you're getting better, then that's good. That's good news. So,
yeah. Okay. Well, you can find all these school grades on our website with your story at djournal.com. We've got this whole document embedded. And we'll have more coverage in Friday's paper as well. So, good work, Emma.
Thanks, Brad.
Emma Kent.
That's my name.
And you can be found on Twitter at E.M. Crawford Kent. Okay. See you next time, Emma. Thanks.
Bye.
College football season unofficially begins this week, and the Daily Journal has you covered. Visit djournal.com all week for complete coverage of SEC football media days. Daily Journal reporters Paris Halford, Logan Lowry, and John Davis providing extensive coverage of all the news on Ole Miss and Mississippi State. Also, we'll have reports from the press conferences of all 14 SEC schools, including video interviews and players. You can go online now to read coverage from Mississippi State's media days appearance on Tuesday. Ole Miss players and coaches are meeting with the media today. And in fact, we've already got some coverage up on the website. It's a one-stop location for all the coverage at djournal.com/SEC Media Days. In fact, this is the final day of SEC Media Days. So again, Ole Miss is talking to the media. Hugh Freeze got some video and comments from him and also from players as well. So check that out. Again, it's djournal.com/SEC Media Days. And the guys, Paris and Logan, they have a podcast every week. It's called Double Coverage, where they talk about Ole Miss and Mississippi State sports. Normally every Thursday. This week, because of media days and Paris being tied up today with Ole Miss, they will record on Friday. So look for that to drop probably Friday afternoon. You can listen to that for free in iTunes, your podcast app, or at doublecoverage.djournal.com. And don't forget about a high school sports podcast, Prep Rally, with myself and Gene Phelps. That's every Wednesday. So we had an episode drop yesterday. You can watch the webcast. Usually goes on around 11 a.m., give or take, at djournal.com. And then the podcast version drops later in the day, so you can access that right now for free in iTunes, your podcast apps, or at preprally.djournal.com. Let's go down to Jackson and speak with Bobby Harrison, Capital Bureau Chief for the Journal. Bobby, how you doing?
All right, Brad, how you doing?
Doing well, sir. Let's talk about House Bill 1523. It's been in the news a lot, of course, since it was enacted. And that's the bill, of course, that allows public officials and others to not provide services for same-sex marriages. Recently, a U.S. District Judge overturned the legislation. And Attorney General Jim Hood, the state's only statewide elected Democrat, has been defending it as per his office, and when that's what he does, has decided to stop doing that, Bobby. He's not going to fight it anymore, and he says it's too expensive, too time-consuming. Obviously, the Republicans expressed disappointment at that, Bobby. It was, again, he's a Democrat, and I know, you know, when it comes to this kind of thing, he's just got to do what you got to do, whether you agree with the legislation or not, but looks like Bobby just figured it was a losing battle all the way, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, Judge Carlton Reeves threw out the entire law I guess, 2 or 3 weeks ago. Time kind of, especially in the summertime, gets discombobulated. But in federal court, when you sue the state, you don't sue on a law like this, you don't sue the state. You actually sue the officials per se. And Jim Hood was sued as the Attorney General. Phil Bryant was sued as the governor. The head of the Department of Human Services and a couple other people were sued. And so Jim Hood, because that's what his office does, is defend the state. His office kind of took the lead in defending the law before Judge Reeves, but he made a decision yesterday not to try to convince Judge Reeves or a higher court to overturn the ruling. He said, you know, it was too costly, too time consuming. He had other issues. You know, he said his office is having to deal with lawsuits involving other legislation passed during the 2016 session, like, you know, the state, the legislature pretty much had the state take over to Jackson Municipal Airport, and there's a lawsuit involving that. It's a pretty serious lawsuit. There's, you know, always abortion lawsuits in Mississippi. There's school funding lawsuits, and, you know, whether charter schools are constitutional or not. So there's just a lot going on.
Yeah.
And he said his office already spent over 400 hours defending that particular bill. Now, Governor Bryant and at least the head of the Department of Human Services are appealing the Judge Reeves ruling. And Governor Bryant has some attorneys who are doing it voluntarily, who's kind of specialized in this type of social conservative issue. So they're going to continue the appeal. Now, you know, it's Governor Bryant and Lieutenant Governor Tate Reeves, Republican, who might run against Jim Hood for governor in a couple of years. They both took the opportunity to slam Hood's decision not to handle the appeal. So maybe some politics in that. Maybe people's genuine beliefs, but anyway, so that's where it stands. You know, one thing that Hood said also, Brad, besides the time element, and is that he says the bill is not does not do what its proponents say it, you know, Because, you know, one thing that really got talked about a lot on talk radio and such was, you know, this would prevent churches or ministers from having to perform services for gay couples or same-sex couples. You know, this bill doesn't prevent that. I mean, we have this thing called the First Amendment of the Constitution. And, you know, a religious leader, a minister or church can, you know, they have the right to marry or not marry whomever they want to. You know, it happens all the time with, you know, with straight couples, if you will, men and women, where, you know, a minister might counsel the couple and decide they're not ready to be married. Right. Or, you know, maybe because of divorce issues that some churches frown upon, they decide they're not going to marry them. That happens all the time. And
right.
And so a minister is not going to be forced to marry a gay couple. A church is not going to be forced to hold a same-sex wedding in its sanctuary or chapel. So, I mean, that was kind of a Fox issue that a lot of people got fired up about.
Yeah.
And another thing is, real quickly, the businesses, you know, there is federal law saying, you know, if you go into, you know, sort of the lunch counter thing, going back to the 60s, you know, you go into a restaurant, you know, you have a certain protection that restaurants can't refuse to serve somebody. So there's certain protection there. But, you know, Hood pointed out that Mississippi doesn't have a law saying that a business per se has to provide a service, you know, like a cake maker. You know, he points out that I think it was Oregon or Washington State out of the Northwest, a cake maker or wedding planner or somebody got heavy fine or lawsuit settlement against them because they refused to provide make a cake for a gay couple. There's specific laws passed by the legislature in those states saying that, you know, that a business can't do that. There's not laws like that in Mississippi.
Right.
What this bill really impacts is circuit clerks. The bill said a circuit clerk could opt out of issuing a marriage license for a same-sex couple based on a religious objection. You know, and Hood said, you know, when you become an employee of the state, you have to follow the laws, and the Supreme Court has said that, you know, law of the land is the same-sex weddings are okay. So you know, that might put some circuit clerks in a tough position, but you know, that's kind of what the law says now.
Yeah, and so basically this House Bill 1523, Jim Hood is basically saying it's just not necessary. And to quote him in your story, said all it's done is tarnish Mississippi's image while distracting us from more pressing issues. And he talked about, of course, the problem with the decaying roads and bridges, underfunding of public education, so on and so forth, and just the general state financial mess, as he put it.
That's right. And, you know, I guess, you know, for some people, just the stated intent of the bill is as important as actually what the bill does or doesn't do. You know, the bill states that a marriage between a man and a woman, and sex should be performed in that
right
relationship between a man and a woman. And hold on, mom, not watching, listening. And you know, your sexual identity is the identity that you had when you were born, and it states those as principles of the state. Now, you know, I think that Judge Rees overturned those because he the argument was that when you say, you know, you favor one religion over another group, when you state that as as a principles of the state. So, yeah. I mean, I think that was an issue also in the decision by the circuit judge to overturn the law.
All right. Well, you can find Bobby's story in today's Daily Journal or at djournal.com. Bobby, always a pleasure.
All right, Brad. All right, appreciate it.
Yep. To hear more from Bobby, watch the Daily Journal's Capitol View webcast each Monday afternoon at djournal.com. Bobby will provide commentary and analysis on the issues being debated in Jackson. You can watch live on Monday afternoons about 2 o'clock or catch the replay later in the day. The 2016 legislative session is now over, but Bobby will continue to provide perspective about the news coming out of the state capitol. Time now for today's news memo, and for more on these stories, read the Daily Journal or visit djournal.com. The Tupelo Hospital referral region fared better than any other in Mississippi, but still ranked in the bottom 20% nationally in a new National Health System Performance Scorecard. The New York-based Commonwealth Fund released the scorecard looking at 306 hospital referral regions across the country. The hospital referral regions are bigger than any one hospital. In Mississippi, all of the regions include multiple towns and hospitals. The rankings looked at 36 measures in 4 areas to gauge the health of each region.
Local law enforcement have seen a marked increase in support in recent weeks. People have been dropping off bottled water, paying to have meals delivered to the Tupelo Police Department and Lee County Sheriff's Office, and even dropping off gifts. Tupelo Police Department Chief Bart Gary said there have been more instances than usual of someone offering to buy an officer a cup of coffee or pick up a tab for a meal. The outpouring of support has come at a time when TPD is under scrutiny after the fatal shooting of an African-American man by a white officer on June 18th. Lee County Sheriff Jim Johnson called the public support overwhelming and said it outweighs any of the negativity we face.
Demand for larger recycling bins in Tupelo continues to outstrip the limited supply available. Waste Management annually gives away 100 roll-away recycling containers similar in size to the 96-gallon waste bins provided to city residents. There is currently a waiting list to receive the annual allotment of rolling recycling carts, according to Tupelo City officials. The smaller 18-gallon open-top bins remain available to all residents. If a local resident wants to go on the waiting list to receive a rolling recycling container, that person should go into the Tupelo Water and Light Collections office to sign up.
The Mississippi Department of Education is turning to a lottery to fill the final slots in a program that provides scholarships or vouchers to special needs children. There are 175 scholarships remaining, but more than that, many have applied for the program. The program was provided during the 2015 session. It provides vouchers to allow parents to pursue private school or other non-public school options for their special needs children.
A popular Fulton eatery has burned to the ground. Despite a lengthy battle with the flames, Itawamba firefighters were unable to save Waterfront Restaurant after the building caught fire on Wednesday afternoon. The cause of the blaze has not been determined. Multiple fire departments responded to the 911 call about the fire just after 3 p.m. The building was reportedly empty when the fire began. Officials claim the building is a total loss. Waterfront Restaurant is one of Fulton's oldest eateries. It sits overlooking the Tin Tom Waterway in Midway Marina. And again, we remind you that the show was sponsored by South, a locally owned restaurant offering fine dining and a casual atmosphere. A lot of things going on at South. You got Nick Rice, the chef, has been there for over a year. Got new lunch and dinner menu items. And they've got the weekend brunch on Saturdays and Sundays. Also, South is home to Tupelo's only Bellini Mimosa Bar every Saturday. And check out the happy hour specials. Happy hour specials each weeknight. And trivia begins at 7 o'clock p.m. every Wednesday. The winner gets a $50 gift card.
We were at South Deanna, and I went to South on Monday night.
Did you?
It was our wedding anniversary, and so we had a...
Happy anniversary.
Appreciate it. Her mom was in town. We had a rare date night and went to South, had a good meal.
So haven't had how many years?
Seven.
Seven.
Wow. 7 years.
Babies. Got number 18 coming up this month.
Scott Moore is joining us now to discuss the film he saw this week, The Secret Life of Pets.
No, actually, I decided I'm going to skip the podcast this week.
You are?
Yeah, I'm not going to do that
so
this
week. So you came in here?
I'm just here to talk to you guys.
Oh, okay. I thought you were coming in here to tell us you were skipping the podcast this week. I was like, well, that defeated the purpose.
No, I saw The Secret Life of Pets with the family, and it was a very... I haven't had to sit on the back row at a theater in a long time.
Full?
It was full. I've gotten somewhat blasé, and I'll show up like 5 minutes before showtime or even at showtime and miss a few trailers, but it was packed. So we were on the back row.
I had to do that during Jungle Book.
Yeah.
It was so crowded. So I assume this one would be... I feel like I've been seeing trailers for this movie for like 2 years.
And that's a concern when you, because I've seen all these trailers again and again and again, and I'm thinking, well, what if those are all the best moments?
Yeah.
And I will say that having to go through those moments again was like, again, because I've seen them a bunch because I go a lot. But once we get through them, there's plenty of humor and good stuff to go throughout the movie. The filmmakers know how to have a good time. The story is kind of like the Toy Story story in some ways, because you have Max the dog, voiced by Louis C.K., who's happy with his relationship with his owner in a New York City apartment. And then she brings in Duke, played by Eric Stone Street. And that's a, you know, they have squabbles, they fight, they argue, they tie, and then all of a sudden they're lost in the big city. And so they encounter sewers, they encounter... one of my favorite characters is a great choice, is Kevin Hart as a maniacal bunny. Bunny is a gangsta bunny. And, you know, just every time you see... Because he'll have these... You know, he's a cute little white bunny, but he's in charge of the... charge of the alligators that were flushed down the sewers.
Oh, there's alligators,
you know,
in the sewers.
Yeah, there's alligators in the sewers. There's like, you know, old pythons and snakes that were pets that were let loose. And And so he has his whole bunny armada down in the sewers of New York City. And for fans of, there's one musical number, and fans of Grease will enjoy this very surreal moment that a couple of the characters enjoy. I also really enjoyed Gidget, her character development. She's just a little
Sally Field. What?
Well, there you go. No, in this case, Jenny Slate, who voiced the character, and her development from just a, you know, a little cute little puppy dog to a menace to society is fun to watch. She develops interestingly. So yeah, I recommend it to just about anybody. I will say that they do something at the end that's very much like, you know, and I don't want to say what it is because it's giving away plot stuff, but the same thing happened in Finding Dory, and it annoyed me there. We had that discussion about Finding Dory, about it happening there, and it's just like, come on. I mean, you can believe a lot, but then we push to the same area, but then it's almost like the last act of both these movies kind of go in the same territory that kind of made me hard to suspend disbelief. It's like, what are you doing that for? But that said, I mean, it's a good-natured film, and the scary moments are kind of funny. I don't think it'll bother little kids. There's a part with a snake, but the snake's like, it's kind of scary, but it's comedic at the same time, so I'm not sure how that would bother kids.
Impressive cast list, I was noticing. Albert Brooks is moving only to voice acting in kids' movies these days.
You know, but he played a gangster in a movie, I think it's called Drive, I believe. Mm-hmm. And I love that casting, and he was menacing.
Yeah.
I mean, when he took you out, I mean, you weren't laughing. but yeah, he plays a hawk, and I recognize his voice. And then we have Kevin Hart, obviously, and Lake Bell, who I'm beginning to enjoy more. She's beginning to like become aware of what she does. And then Dana Carvey's in there, and Hannibal Buress, and Bobby Moynihan from SNL.
A lot of SNL people with Dana and Louis C.K. as well.
Yeah.
And Steve Coogan. I always love Steve Coogan.
Yeah, Steve Coogan's there. And so I would say that, and I think that the movie shows zany, goes zany, and so it's like there's stuff that you're supposed to care about, but it's like it's been so wacky, and there's no, I mean, the way it develops, I mean, I don't know if I had an emotional connection to anything, but I was curious to see how it's all going to turn out, obviously, but it's like there's nothing heartbreaking about it, you know, but it was entertaining throughout. I give it a B+.
Kind of looks like it's already got a built-in franchise made out of it.
Well, it made $100 million, so if you make $100 million with one on opening weekend, you're probably going to have a second one. That's the law of the of 21st century movie making.
So now it is at Cinemark and Malco, because of course it's not a Disney movie, so you can see it at either place. Scott, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for giving me this opportunity to yet again make the podcast great.
You can find Scott's movie review online at djournal.com, where we also want to remind you that the website is now free from the first click to the last. We have recently removed our paywall and increased our multimedia content by launching new products from videos to webcasts. Website complements our print product, the Northeast Mississippi Daily Journal. So visit djournal.com, come stay a while, and leave informed about the communities that we serve. Bradley?
Hey, hey.
It's Thursday.
Sure is. What's happening this weekend, man?
Everything under the sun.
So we're back to stuff happening.
It picks back up towards the end of the summer. Families go on vacations. People try not to plan as much stuff. Tonight in Saltillo, you can visit the, we mentioned on yesterday's show, the Dinner and Music in the Park series continues at Saltillo City Park with live music from the Kevin Wade Project. $5 hamburger and hot dog plates sold, and House of Bounce is going to have free water slides and Zorb balls.
That is a Zorb ball.
Those things that were in your window the other night with lights. Zorb balls are those clear balls you get inside and a giant hamster.
That looks fun.
Not when it's 105 outside. Yeah, maybe not. You know, maybe a 70 degrees. I think you'd suffocate.
Yeah, probably.
So kids, come out and try a Zorb ball tonight at South Tillis City Park. So that's going to be at 6 p.m. More information on that, 869-5431. Tupelo Community Theater has their first ever game night today at 7 p.m. at their off-Broadway location on East Franklin Street. That's behind the Bancorp South Arena.
That looks fun. I've heard about that. Some people are going.
Going to be playing all kinds of board games, from Cards Without Humanity to Clue to Pictionary to Settlers of something that I have never heard
Settlers
of.
Settlers of Catan,
I've never heard of it. I used a Monopoly picture. I don't know if they'll be playing Monopoly, but I can guarantee you that somebody will die if they play Monopoly tonight.
Game takes forever.
Every time you just flip a table, I'm done. I'm not playing this anymore. So tickets are $10 for that, 844-1935 to reserve tickets. Also on Saturday, Brad, I saw you were going to this, the Actors Bash Workshop.
I sure am. Hone my skills.
Usually once a quarter they have this at the Link Center Black Box Theater. Glenn Payne and his crew. The event invites actors, writers, and directors to gather, put scenes together for directors to sample. Admission is $15, cash only at the door. More info on that, you can look up Actors Bash Acting Workshop on Facebook.
And if you have any desire to get into acting, which I kind of did for years but was kind of too scared to do it, this is a good, and this is where I did my first any kind of acting.
So this is, this is to blame. Huh?
No, it's a good safe place to go. You don't need to go in there and feel too insecure, because this is going to offer you good critiques, honest critiques, but they're going to be nice about it, and it's just a good experience. So, and Glenn Payne, very talented guys, and a lot of talented people will be there. So, there you go.
All right,
10-1.
It has the Brad Locke seal of approval.
I'll be signing autographs.
No. I'll be signing copies of my award-winning 70-inch story from the local folk story.
This guy started here, and now he's been on The Peacemakers. The Peacemakers, mommy, look.
He's the one that killed everybody.
Ben Belange.
I want to be just like you when I grow up. I think
it's Bellinger, buddy.
Yeah, it's Belange, Mom. Also at Linkster this weekend, another American Idol contestant. We'll be talking about Trent Harmon here in a few minutes. But American Idol finalist Amelia Eisenhower, who was on season 15, next to last season, I think. It was not the same season as Trent Harmon.
Okay.
I don't think so. She is from Nashville. You might have seen her at the Tupelo Elvis Festival earlier this summer. She's going to be performing with her band, the Eisenhower Family Band, which features her mother, Rhonda, and brother, Andy, on banjo. She is only 16, but incredibly talented. Incredibly. Child prodigy.
Cool.
They call her. So check her out. Got to interview her. Cool story. She's actually from Illinois, but they moved to Nashville specifically to let their music career take off and try to challenge themselves by being around other world-class musicians in the area. So check that out. That is going to be at the Link Center, 7:30 p.m. on Saturday in the concert hall. So good stuff.
Good deal. And you mentioned Trent Harmon.
I did mention Trent Harmon.
We had a story. You had a story on him today. You got to talk to the guy.
Did. Spoke briefly to Mr. Harmon yesterday. He's in Dallas currently on a radio tour promoting his new single, There's a Girl, the video for which, music video for which, came out this past Monday via Rolling Stone. So that's kind of a big deal. Exclusively released, originally dropped on Rolling Stone. So it's currently the number 2 music video on iTunes and the number 1 country music video.
Good deal.
Number 2 overall.
And he drops some love to Tupelo in the
Tupelo song. Is like the third word in the song, as well as Highway 45. Yeah, so
that's pretty cool.
I watched the video before speaking with him yesterday. So yeah, drops that, and he says that he's a little homesick for Northeast Mississippi, but social media keeps him connected. People are driving down Highway 45 listening to the song and sending him Snapchats of themselves listening to the song while driving.
The song mentions
Highway 40. Yes, please. Don't Pokemon Go and drive. don't Snapchat Trent Harmon and drive. But so that's pretty cool. He said he got to do, while the video was cool, he got to do a lot of things in the video that he normally gets to do at home, so that made him a little less homesick.
Including borrowing a motorcycle from a mean-looking biker.
Stealing a bike from a poor girl's trying to sell lemonade. I mean, you terrible human being. You're problematic, Trent Harmon, now. He The cute little girl gives him the bike so he can go track down his girl who's making the longest pie in history.
Looks good, though.
Takes 4 years to make that pie.
It's a cool video, and it's a good song, which I don't listen to country radio much because it's all this bro country. This is a nice departure from that.
From what?
From that bro country you hear all the time. Garbage! I'm encouraged by this first song of his I've heard. When is his album supposed to drop?
He's working on his next goal is to have the number one song, country song in the country right now.
Okay. I hope he does.
So it is available for radio play starting next week.
Can you buy it now, the song?
You can. It is on iTunes. It dropped on June 23rd.
Okay. Cool.
Music video just happened to come out on Monday. So that's your scene section. That's what's going on this weekend in the area. Here's a look at your neck of the woods.
Okay, well, that's it, Derek, for this show.
It better be.
For this week.
All right.
Cool.
Back again on Monday? Yep. Do it all over again?
I'll be here, I reckon.
Are you sure?
Pretty sure.
Are you sure?
We got a guest coming Monday also. We do. We've got Molly Lovern from CDF going to come talk about the Tupelo Young Professionals program and kind of some changes they've made to try to revamp it a little bit.
Yeah, it's like for professionals between the ages of 20-something and 40, so... I guess this would be my last year if I wanted to like be a part of that group.
I'm old. Good thing you'll hear from her.
So after this year, I'll be a Tupelo old professional, I guess.
The tops.
Brad, you've been a Tupelo old professional to us for so long. Actually, you've just been an old Tupelo person for so long.
That'll be fun. Have her on the show Monday.
All right. Looking forward to it. Sounds good. I'll be here.
Follow us on Twitter at DJournalMemo. There's a variety of ways to listen to us, of course, on iTunes, on any of your podcast apps like Stitcher FM or Satchel. So it's all free, and you can listen online as well at memo.djournal.com. Get all the news, entertainment, and sports you need at djournal.com or in your daily journal. Follow the journal on Twitter at DJournal now. And once again, we remind you that today's show has been sponsored by South, a locally owned restaurant offering fine dining in a casual atmosphere. Try their cheap date night every Tuesday when the restaurant offers two meals for the price of one. You get salad, sides, dessert, and beer or wine, all for just $25. That's South on North Gloucester. Okay.
Sounds good.
Well, y'all have a great weekend. Go find something to do. There's plenty going on out there. So, Derek.
Brad. Chris.
Derek.
Brad.
Derek.
Chris.
Chris.
We'll see y'all next time.